हरेर नाम हरेर नामय केवलम कलौ नास्तेव 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 गतिरं नथा
to the weekly Krishna Consciousness Program, and I'd like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, where we have special public programs every Sundays starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by Aarti of the Lordships at 12:30. Then we have a discourse on Krishna Consciousness philosophy based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, followed by Aarti of the Foundacharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program with a vegetarian feast at 2:30. Please come along and join us in celebrating Krishna consciousness. Remember, I've been talking about 30 steps in salvation or moksha, and I'll do a summary of what I have covered so far. Remember the first one, the very first step. In this endeavor, there is no loss. And whatever little advancement you have made in devotional service or Krishna consciousness, it stays there. If for some reason you stop, do not follow it, and come back to it later at a later point, you start from where you had left. You don't have to start all from scratch. Secondly, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully observed in me and taking refuge in me. Many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love of me. This is Lord Krishna telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 10. That is, this is nothing new. This method has been tried in the past by many sages, many devotees, and so we are not experimenting it. Third one, in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has achieved this enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 text 38. And this is called Rajvidya Rajkuyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Fifth, the very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Therefore, you can understand the transcendental mysticism of this science. Six, and when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are but part and parcel of me, and they are in me and I am within them. Seven, The yogis abandoning attachment act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. 8. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The yogis whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest happiness. By virtue of his identity with Brahman, he is liberated. His mind is peaceful, his passions are quietened, and he is freed from sin. So that means we need to control our mind. Wherever it wanders away, bring it back to Krishna consciousness. Bring it back to Krishna. Next one, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a genuine spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, and self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of evil, of birth, death, old age, and disease, non-attachment to children, wife, home, and the rest, and even mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, resorting to solitary places, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All this I thus declare to be knowledge, and what is contrary to this is ignorance. Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, text 8 to 12. That very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and therefore can understand transcendental mystery of this science. And the next one is adjusting your diet for higher awareness. Remember, the Lord Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati Tadham Bhakti Upartam Asnami Prayat Atmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 26. And we too should purify our whatever food we are eating first by offering it to Lord Krishna and then accepting the food, offered food, which is prasadam, to the whole family. Next one, day 12. You are not your body. Anadityam niragunatvat paramatmayayam avaya sarirasto api kuntayaha na karoti na lipate. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature, despite contact with the bodies, with the material body. O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. Chapter 13, text 32 of Bhagavad Gita. A living entity appears to be born because of the birth of the material body. But actually, the living entity is eternal. He is not born. And in spite of his being situated in a material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus, he cannot be destroyed. By nature, he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activity. Therefore, the activities performed due to this contract with material body does not entangle him. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature, despite contact with the material body. Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. In his spiritual training, perhaps the single most important point to understand is that you are not your body. You are the soul within it. The soul is completely transcendental to the body and does not come under the same designations that we give to the body. It does not belong to a certain family, name, or ethnic group. The soul is not Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, etc. It is also not American, Indian, Russian, Chinese, Pakistani, or anything else. According to the Upanishads, it is also not happy, sad, frustrated, or content. It does not take birth, grow, change or die. It may be in the body, and we may think we are the body due to false ego, but we have the freedom to think whatever we like. There is a saying that anything that is temporary or changes is not the eternal truth. We have to go beyond what is temporary to get a glimpse of what is real and true. And the soul exists in that field of eternity that is completely beyond the mind, body and sense. Only the genuine spiritual vision can we see our real identity, beyond the body, beyond all of the material nature. The soul is never entangled in the material energy or actions, nor does it engage in such. It is only the body and our body desires which keep, and our bodily desires which keep us bound up in material nature. It is only by thinking we have these bodies which keeps us in the bodily existence. This is why it is so important to pursue the spiritual life and rise above the mental and bodily dictates that limit our perception of our spiritual identity. That is where we can reach our full potential beyond the limitations that are forced down upon us by our absorptions in material existence. The more spiritual we become, the more we can perceive the spiritual dimensions. Hare Krishna. Next step is to adjust our diet for the higher awareness. Lord Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yomi Bhaktaya Prayachati Tadham Bhakti Upartam Asnami Prayat Atmanah. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 26. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness. Engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or a fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of life, of eternity, bliss and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower and from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He does not need anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in exchange for love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti or devotional service is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a Brahman, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never casual. The process is eternal. It is direct action in the service to the absolute whole. Here, Lord Krishna, having established that he is the only enjoyer and the primal Lord and the real object of all sacrificial offerings, reveals what types of sacrifice he desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord, to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unmatched. Thus, meat, fish, and egg should not be offered to Krishna. If he desired such things as offering, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, a fruit, flowers, and water be given to him. And he says of this offering, I will accept it. Therefore, we should understand that he will not accept meat, fish, and eggs. Vegetables, grains, fruits, milk, and water are the proper foods for human beings and are prescribed by Lord Krishna himself. Whatever else we eat cannot be offered to him, since he will not accept it. Thus, we cannot be acting on the level of loving devotion if we offer such foods. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 13, Lord Krishna explains, Yagya sisthasina santo muchante sarva kilbishah bhujante te tu agagham papa ye pachante atma karmanat. That only the remnants of sacrifice are purified and fit for consumption by those who are seeking advancement in life and release from the clutches of material entanglement. Those who do not make an offering of their food, he says, in the same ways, are eating only sin. In other words, their every mouthful is simply deepening their involvement in the complexities of material nature. But preparing nice, simple vegetable dishes, offering them before the picture of the deity of Lord Krishna, and bowing down and praying for him to accept such a humble offering, enables one to advance steadily in life, to purify the body and to create fine brain tissues, which will lead to clear thinking. Above all, the offering should be made with an attitude of love. Krishna has no need for food, since he already possesses everything that be. Yet, he will accept the offering of one who desires to please him in that way. The important element is in preparation, in serving, and in offering is to act with love for Krishna. We can certainly worship God by going to the temple, seeing the deity, saying our prayers, and provide a little offering according to our capacity. Or we may simply have a deity or a picture at home and offer a little something there. Of course, if we do have plenty of funds, then we can help in building a temple if we want, or sponsor a festival or something else. The point is that it must be a sign of love, our love and devotion, to be accepted. The second thing this verse shows is that God asks for items which cause no harm to others. He asks for no blood offerings or for the meat of the slaughtered animals. Thus, he outlines here, we offer nice flowers, fruits, grains, or sumptuous vegetable preparations. Similarly, after the items are offered, we accept the remnants of such offerings as prasad, known as his mercy on us. Because we partake of such offering as prasad, a sacred food that has been offered to God, we also make great spiritual advancement. The prasad purifies our minds and bodies. There have already been experiments that shows how prayers over food will substantially change its molecular structure in a positive way. So when we prepare food in the proper consciousness with the intent of offering it to God in the form of his deity or picture with prayers and worship, then we can imagine how much more the food changes and becomes purified. Furthermore, if we are serious about making spiritual advancements, we do not want to be putting in our body, which depletes our energy, our health, or lower our vibration, thoughts, and consciousness. So a few things that will do that are tobacco, intoxicants like drugs and alcohol, as well as meat. Meat is a product of violence, since the animals has to be killed. No entity wants to be killed. So this kind of violence enters our system when you eat the meat. It lowers our consciousness and dense and sensitivity to the point where we may no longer perceive anything wrong with killing the lives of animals. So you can satisfy your tongue. This, of course, does not take into consideration how many drugs are put into the bodies of the livestock or the animals which are bred to be butchered, nor the conditions of which they are slaughtered. But if you are sincere about raising your own consciousness and keeping yourself free from the karma of contributing to the violence of unnecessary killings, then you should consider these points and adjust your intake of foods accordingly. But if you are sincere about raising your own consciousness and keeping yourself free from the karma of contributing to the violence of unnecessary killing, then you should consider these points and adjust your intake of foods. At least take to the vegetarian diet. In other words, we do not want to cause harm to others or ourselves, so we do not partake in eating things that we do that, or that will cause resistance to our spiritual progress. And the meat diet is not difficult to give up when we have experienced the higher taste of what can be done with delicious vegetable preparations. By concentrating one's attention on the transcendental form of Krishna, who is all-pervading and beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in thinking of Krishna and then attains the happy state of transcendental association with Him. Krishna consciousness is the highest stage of trance in yoga practice. This very understanding that Krishna is present as Paramatma in everyone's heart makes the yogi faultless. The Vedas, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, chapter 3, text 2, confirms this inconceivable potency of the Lord as follows. Eko pe san bahudha yov vabhati. Although the Lord is one, He is present in innumerable hearts as many. Similarly, in the Smriti Shastra, it is said, Eko eva paro Vishnu sarva vyapahe na samsaya aishwaryadirupam ekam cha suryevat bahudayayate. Vishnu is one, and yet He is certainly all-pervading. By His inconceivable potency, in spite of His own form, He is present everywhere, as the sun appears in many places at once. Thank you. We'll see next week. Hare Krishna.